Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Let's take it down to Seriousville, big guy. Here's the headline. Ooh. Jordan Neely, the man killed in a chokehold on the New York City subway, is remembered as an entertainer shattered by his mother's murder. There's lots of places you could get this article and story.
I'm not going to even give a Woga Mac on the because it doesn't. It's depending on which side of the fence you're on this, it really doesn't matter. I mean, you've got some facts, and this is from a CNN article where we'll be posting, and I feel like it definitely leans left. I mean, I think that if you probably looked at this on Fox News, it would be a different slant
for sure.
So I think it really depends on where you are on the political spectrum as far as this article goes.
Let's get a couple of details. The video of a man experiencing homelessness who later died after being held in a chokehold on the New York City subway has drawn national attention. Jordan Neely, 30-year-old, shouted at passengers that he was hungry, thirsty, and tired of having nothing before he was grabbed from behind in a chokehold by a Marine veteran. Neely, a well-known Michael Jackson impersonator, Times Square and on the subway, was pronounced dead at a hospital later. The man who put Neely in the chokehold has been identified as Daniel Penny, a 24-year-old Marine veteran from Queens, his attorney said in a statement. The death was ruled a homicide, but that classification does not mean there was intent or culpability, which is a matter for the criminal justice system to consider. After his mother was murdered, Jordan Neely, in 2007, he eked out a living as a Michael Jackson impersonator. He fell on hard times in recent years, according to friends and relatives, finding himself living on the street and struggling with the trauma of losing his mother as a teenager. I think you hit this on the head. Depending on what side of the tracks you're from, you're like, this Marine needed to protect the people on the subway. Mm-hmm. Or if you're someone who knows how hard it is in life, for just living, let alone someone who loses their mother as a teenager, you have more compassion for Jordan Neely.
There is nothing about the story that's not sad and tragic on any from anywhere on this, from either the Jordan Neely side or the Marine side. I have been on many Muni buses in San Francisco and Manhattan and other places where I've had people come on there. And as you well know, I'm a big guy. I could take care of myself. I don't walk with fear, but I think about my little tiny wife, 5 feet tall, or someone's grandmother, and these people come on and clearly they're mentally ill, or maybe not even. They come out of these cars and they just are angry, and by the way, people have been attacked on cars before. So it's not as if
all the time.
It's not as if this was just like, oh, you know, the guy was on there. Like, so people on there, clearly this guy was clearly doing some wacky stuff. People who've never been on a subway or on a bus cannot appreciate what it's like to have somebody come on, how intimidating and frightening it can be to have somebody come on and do this. Now, you know, like, so it's easy to say, well, this guy, you know, is a black man. I'm like, I almost wish, this is going to sound terrible, I almost wish it had been a black Marine who had done this to a white mentally ill person.
Yep.
And they're saying, oh, if that was a black Marine, you know, he'd be in jail right now. I was like, I don't think so in this day and age. I don't think this had anything to do with race. That was the thing that everybody wants to make it about race. I'm like, I think, again, I don't know. It's tragically sad. Another black man dies. That's awful. I get all this. But I think what the reaction was from my own experience of seeing this over and over. And by the way, I've seen just as many crazy white people on the Muni and on the you know, in the
but
subway.
They don't end
and
up killed, but go on.
No, I don't know. I don't know what the statistics are. But you're probably right. I'm sure that there is a part of that in there. But again, I'm not taking a side. I just am saying that I could see both sides.
Can't we just hear this story and have everybody say, this is horribly horrible? Like, why does Fox News immediately got to run lead story? Black deranged lunatic gets put down by a heroic Marine. And like, why? Like, can't we just say there's really no good answer on this? Is like a horrible story.
Right.
Can't we just like, full stop, horrible story?
Yeah, the part about this that's really hard for me is, and again, they're going to play this out in the courts. There's going to be a lot of stuff.
Yes.
But I don't understand why this guy hung on to him when he was clearly, was he afraid? No, of course. But I'm saying
it's
like, I don't have any problem with him grabbing the guy to start with. Right?
Yep.
Because we've all been on there. I was thinking about my kid being on the bus and this guy, like someone doing that to me is heroic. But the fact that he hung on to him, I'm like, wait, what? Why didn't you let him go? You had stopped him. Why didn't you let him go?
Just for the record, my second time, by the way, I live in an urban area, San Francisco. Right, this right. stuff's crazy. My second time ever to Manhattan, I'm walking on the sidewalk. Some deranged, and he was black, came and got right in my face and started yelling at me for 5 minutes. I tried to walk away. He followed me. Now, one New Yorker, not anybody. I was a tourist in Manhattan. Not anybody came to my defense.
Right.
I was scared, right?
Because that happens all the time.
It does, right? This is like, and so you get the sense that if you're a Marine duty, you go like, I'm going to help these people.
Yes. And that's what I'm saying is that part of me is like, again, we don't know the whole story. We don't. And it's easy to say, this guy's a racist and he killed this guy because he was black. It could just as easily be that he did this because he was afraid for the people on this car. And he did think, and he had seen this. He lives in Brooklyn. Maybe he grew up there. I don't know. But dude, anyone that's lived in an urban area has seen this happen a million times. And it is scary. And you don't know what you're going to do in that situation. Again, like I said, I was thinking to myself, like, you know what? If some dude was getting on a subway car and menacing people, I'm not sure I wouldn't go grab him. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, so... Well, you know, would I be lambasted? I'd like to think that I'm open-minded and not racist, but I wouldn't have cared what color they were if they were crazy and going on. I have more of an issue with the mental health aspect of this whole story than, in a sense, all the other parts of it. Because, like, why are these people allowed to do this?
So the thing that comes to mind of this, because I'm not in law enforcement and I'm not a Marine, why did he have a guy in a chokehold for 15 minutes?
Right.
And didn't he realize, oh, guy's limp now. I don't need to keep killing him in a chokehold.
That's the part of it.
By the way, the other thing is, like, George Floyd. These police officers had that dude's head down on the ground for 8 minutes. People are screaming, let him up. Like, how does not,
that's what I'm saying is that's the part of it that is indefensible. It's like, I don't understand why you didn't let him up. I'm not defending that part of it. I guess what I'm trying to say or trying to wrap my head around is we live in a society that when people are raving lunatics and screaming at you for five straight minutes, that no one comes and says, you know what? Yeah. This dude needs to be in a mental institution.
Yeah.
There is no reason that guy needs to be on the street if he's this out of control. Because it's a safety, it's a basic health and safety issue. But because it's the complexity of human beings.
Yep.
It's funny, you say that about like Fox News running that. I'm like, the CNN story ran with it. Oh, he lost his mother and it's terrible and she was murdered. I'm like, well, lots of people lose family members and have terrible things happen to them and don't get loony on a bus, or you know what I mean, don't go crazy and do this stuff. Now I'm not saying that that's not the reason why he went crazy, but I'm saying the mental health issue. You know that there was another shooting in Texas, and what does the governor of Texas do? He's like, oh, we got to do something about mental health. I'm like, so wait, what state does the least for mental health stuff? Texas. I'm saying it's an easy story, but we don't really want to pay for it. I'm of the mind that we need to start focusing on it. When you see a person raving on the street, clearly out of their head, we need to be able to force them into treatment. That's the problem as we have this. Other side says, oh, man, they need to be, it's just a hard
dude
thing.
I go back and forth, you know, what I call them in San Francisco, zombies, right?
Right.
Not a homeless person who lives in a tent that you ask a question to. People wandering deliriously about, like literal zombies. And I'm with you, like, they're almost, I hate saying this out loud, they're almost not people, right? They've completely lost their faculties to be.
Yeah.
And so what do we, like, as human beings, the state of California, citizen of San Francisco, do we just say, like, hey, man, we got to lock you up and that's it. You're going to the hole. But as, like, someone who believes in a God of just, like, that's it, man. You're unredeemable. You're going to the hole.
I think you've taken it too far into that you're going to the hole. I think that we have to have a conversation about humane response to mental health. Like, is there something in between where we take somebody? I mean, so you know that we both know a kid that was, he was arrested, he killed someone, and he's now in Napa State Hospital for the rest of his life. He is deemed as he's just mentally, he's unwell. I mean, you know, he's got, has psychotic break.
By the way, eerily similar to this story.
Very much
parents,
so.
Orphan.
Yeah, all
life.
The horrible things that happen. But you don't have to say that his life is horrible. It doesn't have to be prison to help these people that cannot help themselves. I think there's compassion on both sides.
Dude, I'm not saying this to like light to be light. People that walk San Francisco are zombies. Like, there is nothing on in the attic of their brain. You can't reason with him, can't talk with him.
No.
If you put them in a correctional facility, they're just going to sit there
I don't think correctional facility. That's the problem is we always take these people and put them in prison. That's not the solution. The solution is a well-equipped and well-funded mental health institution that can help deal with it. Give them the medication they need. If they can't prove that they can stay on their own medication, they'd be forced to take the medication.
I almost want to agree with you. But we've gone back to your old thought. That's just not going to happen in our world. We're not going to create a mental health practice for the people that we've lost to fentanyl and everything that's taken their life.
So what is the solution? Just let them roam?
Dude, honestly, I'm telling you, that's what I'm like. There is no solution that's coming soon.
Well, and so I would push back just in this. Like, again, I'm not a mental health expert, although I play one on this podcast. But I would wonder if we couldn't, as a world, because it's not like there aren't mentally ill people in other countries.
It is the United States. They don't have this problem in Denmark. They don't have this problem in
Sweden.
They shouldn't
be mentally mentally. No. What are you talking about?
Guess what happens? They treat them and their family. So
that's my point. Like, maybe we could learn something from other countries. That's all my point is. Maybe
they also have gun control in Norway. Yeah. They don't have
maybe
any shootings.
Maybe there are
granted,
other. So. Right. But that's what I'm saying is maybe there's something we could learn. We don't have all the answers is only my point to that. I don't know the answers, but we don't have all the answers, clearly.
I mean, there's examples for all of the American problems.
Yes.
Hunger,
yeah.
Poverty. Yeah. And they're all around us. We're not going to make those because we're Americans. We carry guns. We do mass shootings.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if that's always going to be. I don't know. I'm hopeful that there is a possibility that we could that things will get so bad that we'll be forced to deal with them.
Yeah. Just for the record, who cares who's listening? I see this every single day.
Me too. Even in Asheville, I see it.
Really?
In Asheville, there are people roaming. Downtown Asheville, we have a huge problem with mentally ill people that are, you know, and that's the other thing. You know, we're not going to get into the whole fentanyl thing and all that. But a lot of these people that are drug addicts are self-medicating. They're self-medicating because they're mentally unwell. We have a mental health crisis in this country, and we have to deal with it. I don't know the answers to it, but I don't think sticking our head in the sand and saying it's going to go away is working.
Well, not to be cavalier about this, but in the old days in the Serengeti, those guys would get eaten by the lion.
Yeah, but, I mean, we don't live in the Serengeti anymore, Larry, so we're going to have to learn how to deal with it. So, anyway.
All right. Brandon, I'd like to thank you for teaching me about how I was great in teaching my daughter to learn karate and have her black belt, so when she comes across the deranged person in the subway, she'll know how to take care of herself.
Oh.
That's rude, Larry!